We're back again. We're going to wrap it up here with Timothy Elo at the Cataldo Pilgrimage, cataldopilgrimage.org. Timothy, before we get to Father Wood and the Latin word of the day, just a couple minutes more, I wanted to clear some things up. There's one word I keep trying to think of, and it escapes me, but every pilgrimage has a symbol, a thing. We had blue banners with Our Lady's picture on it last year. I think Santiago has a, is it the shell? What is the word for that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know the word. I know what you mean. And you know what? I don't know what Cataldo's would be. To be honest, I'm trying to think in my mind of, you know, I mean, all of us totally identify with the Sacred Heart Mission. Yeah. I mean, ask any pilgrim that's been on our pilgrimage in the last 15 years, if we show them even a line drawing of the Sacred Heart Mission on that little hilltop, every single one of them immediately goes, you know, that's the pilgrimage. That's our destination.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. We're talking with Timothy Elo. He's involved with the Cataldo Pilgrimage in Idaho. It's a 50-mile walk coming up on the 17th through the 19th. CataldoPilgrimage.org. One last question. You got anybody who walks a thing barefoot?
believe it or not, there are a lot of people, I think it's the younger people, who they will actually walk that pilgrimage in different places with no shoes on. Yeah, we've seen it before.
Wow, that's cool.
For the most part, there are enough little things going on, and it wouldn't surprise me finding out, you know, later on in life that there's a lot of people doing penances, and they're just, you know, it's whatever, it's internal to what they're doing.
Right, right. Another really cool tradition, I don't know if you have people who do it, I found out about it and did it on the one that I did. You find a big rock, like a 5-pound rock, and that rock represents the old you, your sins, your whatever weight you're carrying, and you carry that through the whole pilgrimage. When you get to your end point, you drop it off. You throw it down, and you get rid of the old man. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, it's beautiful. I'll tell you what I see a lot of at our pilgrimage, and I'm sure you see it at yours, but I see a lot of people that over the period of those 3 days, they actually will weep in joy when they reach Cataldo because, you know, they've, over those 3 days, they really had, there has been a transformation.
Yeah, it is something. If you've never been on a pilgrimage, ladies and gentlemen, you have to do and do a short one. You can do a 1-day thing. It's life changing if you allow
steps.
It to be. Yeah. Hey, Timothy, I appreciate your time. Timothy Elo, kind of coordinating now with the Cataldo pilgrimage coming up the 17th, 18th, and 19th. God bless and good luck to you, and have a great time. And yeah,
many blessings.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And there you have it. Thank you to Timothy Elo out in Idaho, the Cataldo Pilgrimage. And once again, check out down below in our news section. Lisa has a great blog on the Cataldo Pilgrimage and Father DeSmet and that whole...
Yeah, one of the neatest quotes that I heard. Well, here, do you want to read it?
Yeah.
It's by Chief Big Face.
Oh, yeah. Chief Big Face was, he was like the head of the Coeur d'Alene tribe. And Chief Big Face, who later they named, he changed
Paul.
His name, Paul, his confirmation name.
No, his
right?
baptismal name.
Yeah, what'd I say?
Confirmation.
His baptismal name became Paul. Chief Big Face, he said this. He said, "This day the Great Spirit has accomplished our wishes and our hearts are swelled with joy." Now, he's speaking to his tribe, right?
So they're He's speaking to Father DeSmet, who just arrived.
He had just arrived, but he's speaking in front of the tribe.
Yes.
And he's welcoming him, so he's giving his blessing. So, "This day the Great Spirit has accomplished our wishes, and our hearts are swelled with joy. Our desire to be instructed was so great that 3 times we had deputed our people to the Great Black Robe in St. Louis to obtain priests. Now, Father, speak, and we will comply with all that you will tell us. Show us the way we have to go to the home of the Great Spirit."
That was cool.
Chief Big Face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was 18-something way out there.
That's the spirit of that pilgrimage.
Cataldo Pilgrimage. So we'll move on to our next section now. This is a segment that we pre-recorded. You had a great idea. Magnificat Radio on the road.
That's right.
I want to do that.
We'll
get that. We took the microphones out, and actually we had one microphone, and we're working on technically. We have some more equipment for the next group of talks with Father. So we set it up in the office, and we had Father Wood explain actually several Latin words of the day. Today we do the word street, and this is how it came out.
You were talking earlier about Latin and the nuances of the language. For instance, Latin versus, I guess, the everyday English that we speak. What were you saying? That there are the nuances between, what was the word you used as an example?
We were using the words velate, and I said it
right. Right. Velate is...
go build some walls.
Right. And we were thinking it was goodbye.
You think it's goodbye.
So if you say goodbye to someone and you say velate, you think you're saying goodbye and you're saying, all right, see you later, go build some walls.
Not even saying see you later. You're just saying get out
go
there.
Go build walls.
Get out there.
Do stuff.
Now get out there and do stuff. But so the subtle difference is velate, build, go do something versus...
valete. Instead of ate, it's ate.
Ate.
If you say valete, that means goodbye. Very literally what it meant for the Romans is stay in good health.
Oh, I like that.
Valete.
And Polish say, drink to your health. Remember?
Right. We used to know some Polish. We've forgotten a lot.
Yep.
But again, even Polish based on Latin.
Nastrovia.
Nastrovia is to your
health.
You have to have something in you before you can say that.
That is true. Something like beer? What are you saying?
Vodka.
Vodka. Vodka over there. Again, we're talking with Father Joseph Wood about Latin and etymology and our English language, basically Latin and Greek based. And there are words that we use every single day that we don't even think about being a Latin word or its Latin meaning or its root. And we just throw it out there. And you and I were talking casually, Father, about, or you brought it up, the word street.
It seems like a pretty everyday word, and nobody would ever think, where did this word come from? But it's one of our English words that we use all the time that comes from Latin.
What's the root? Okay, so in Latin, would you say street as far as meaning, say, a thoroughfare or a road or something?
In fact, they wouldn't. They would say something like via.
Via Dolorosa.
Yeah.
Okay.
It means a way, a road, a street. It was their main word for a road that you travel down.
And today we use that word. If we were going, I'm going to go from here to there via the airline or whatever.
Exactly.
Via a road.
And there's a whole story behind that, but we probably...
That's a whole other section.
A whole other section.
We'll get into that. So let's talk street then. So how do we get from via to street?
Well, so it's a bit of a story, but the Latin word sterno. Means I pave.
Okay.
Sterno, pave. Or I spread something over something else. So in Latin... if a mother was making a bed, we would say sternit lectum. She's spreading something over the bed.
Hmm.
So to sternere is to spread something. And then...
okay, excuse me. Okay, now we're going off into sterilize. Is that connected there with sternally? Because I'm thinking spreading germs?
No, not at all.
Okay, I'm way off now.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Okay.
That's another story.
So sterno being sterno. To spread something.
Spread something. And later down in the history of the word, you've got stratus or stratum, which means something has been spread down.
So the past tense.
Mm-hmm. It's the past tense. It's the participle.
Would that be connected to the stratosphere?
Exactly. So a stratus, or the stratosphere, is one layer, if you want, in the earth or up in the sky. It's a layer of something.
But I see what you mean, though. There's the layers, the stratosphere is one of those layers.
One of those layers.
It's spread.
Exactly.
Oh.
Or in the earth, the stratus, you know, where the fossils are, and that stratus down there.
Yeah.
That was one of the layers of dust that was spread there by history.
So to recap, we're talking street.
Street.
Sternere.
Stratus.
Just to spread. So we're heading there. We're getting there.
So when a via was paved, they would call it a via strata, a road that had the bricks,
the layers,
spread down on it.
Because didn't the Romans make the roads and they made them in layers, much like we do today with the little gravel and then the bigger cobblestones?
Right. Exactly. And the stones would be on top. In English, instead of taking the way part, the via part, we took the paved part. And so we started calling our roads streets because they were paved from strata. And eventually we just have the word street, and we don't think at all of where it comes from. But it comes from that Latin verb, sternere, ultimately, which means to pave or to lay something down on top of something else.
Is there historically a time, I know this sort of moves from one, I don't want to say the word evolve. I always use, I hate using the word evolve because we think of something different.
Developed.
But has it, yes, developed over time. Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome.
This is why I keep her around.
That's why I'm here.
So it develops over time. Do we have, a period in time in English language when these words became, in other words, when we actually started thinking the word street? That's got to be tough to nail down, I suppose.
Oh, I think there are people out there who could do it. Maybe the same thing happened in German. Maybe they're, I think they say Strasse.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. Maybe they had taken it from Latin earlier than we did, and then we got it from them. But there are any number of scholars who could say, tell you something like that.
You know, as you say Strasse in German, it starts to become clear to me then also how things are all connected. I wonder, a strudel in German, don't they layer the frosting and stuff? I don't know. I'm just thinking. I have to ask a German. Father
a
Wood.
German you're etymologist.
Father Wood. Let's see. Father, you could be Father Word instead of Father Wood. However, you are not. So we're talking with Father Joseph Wood about Latin. Everyday words we don't even think about. We just throw them out there. But when you start to break it down and it really, you look at the root of words, which is why the church uses Latin as its language. I mean, it's
dead language.
It's right. Is that it, Father? I mean, it's you can't change really anything in Latin when it's Latin. It's Latin.
Well, that's a big discussion too. Essentially, since nobody speaks Latin as their mother tongue, it doesn't change anymore. The way you say things in Latin, we don't talk like Shakespeare. And in 50 years, people won't talk like you and I talk today.
Unfortunately, in 50 years, they'll be talking much worse than we talk today.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not.
Although the people back then are saying, boy, I mean, if they could hear us to speak today, you see what I'm saying?
I think somebody from 200 years ago would think to himself, who taught these people how to speak? But that doesn't happen in Latin because there's nobody speaking it every day with everyday things, so it doesn't evolve anymore.
So that's... No, don't go ahead.
That's often given as one of the advantages for having Latin in the liturgy and also in different church documents that define church belief. The point being that since Latin doesn't change anymore, once you formulate a truth in that language, or in the Eastern Catholic churches, it'd be in Greek probably, people can't say this term or that term doesn't actually mean that. Like they could do if we did in English, because English is changing. So there's any number of words that today don't mean the same thing they meant even 50 years ago. That doesn't happen in Latin. So people can't play fast and easy with the language in order to try to change what we believe.
Even talking about the word street, to get back to what we were, our word for the day today, we were talking street. We take all the way back to the Latin sterno.
Exactly.
Sterno. Is layers. Is that
to pave, to spread.
That's right, to spread. And via being a road, which we don't see really in our English language. But what I'm saying is we were talking about how language develops, evolves, and changes. The word street being used today, yes, still means street. But now, even now, you'll say, I come from the street, meaning I'm out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it could eventually mean, instead of a paved road, could mean something that's out there.
Yeah. Talk about street language.
Street language, yes.
Which is low, you know, and rude.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or
interesting. Which is why we do the Latin word of the day.
That's right.
Or phrase. We could evolve into a phrase. I just said evolve.
Father, you were telling me earlier about where, like, what Latin is. Is it like, are all of them verbs or something like that? And only the end changes? How does that work?
Well,
that may be something to attack tomorrow. We're running close on time. Oh, are you ready for tomorrow?
I'm ready for tomorrow.
Sure. Father Joseph Wood, thank you very much for the segment today. It's the Latin word of the day. Today, street. Go use it the correct way, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Magnificat, your Magnificat Media, your morning tradition here on Magnificat Radio.
Welcome back to the final segment of this Friday edition of Your Morning Tradition, MagnificatMedia.com. It's Magnificat Radio. We thank you for being part of our day. Mike and Lisa Austin here. We're also, here's something we came up this week I wanted to mention to everybody. I know you probably noticed, and we're working on it. The shows don't exactly hit at exactly the right time.
No, they don't.
Sometimes, we had one the other day. Yesterday. It was like the replay in the afternoon was 20 minutes late. And I'm working with the folks at the radio, the streaming part of our website. Mm-hmm. It's a glitch in the software, and they're trying to figure that out. So when we talk about our shows, we're talking about like Mrs. Weigel tonight, 7:30-ish. And it shouldn't be off 20 minutes, but sometimes it's off like 4 or 5 minutes.
And that's understandable. That's what they told us anyway.
Right.
And but so 20 minutes.
To me, that's still not acceptable, but okay. 4 minutes off when you want the rosary to start at 6 a.m. Yeah, it shouldn't.
But we'll work it out.
Yeah, we'll work it out. And so there you go. Our final segment today it's about wastefulness. I found this thing. It's called You're Gonna Eat That. And it starts off talking about wasting food. Do you realize we throw away, on average, each American family, about $640 worth of food every single year?
That's a lot.
And here's what I think is kind of odd also. This is a report by the American Chemistry Council.
Okay.
Where do they come in at?
I don't know.
We're talking food here. Although, have you looked at a food label?
This is true.
It says here, imagine if you buy a single large order of fast food French fries and turn around and just dump it out every day for a year. That's about what you're throwing away when we throw away food.
I think the dollar amount does it for me.
Yeah,
$640 worth of food wasted. Wow.
What would you do with $640? Now, we waste very little at this house, the Austin family compound, because if the bread has mold, you pick it off and you eat it.
Yeah, actually, we do.
Hey, that's how I was brought up, man.
Just cut it away.
Or like, I remember my dad never throwing bacon grease away. Which is probably why he passed away in his mid-60s, because his arteries clogged up.
Oh, I think don't you put it in the refrigerator and hold it and then you cook with it later?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We had a big cardboard milk carton and all the bacon grease and lard and everything went in there.
Yeah.
And then you just need something, you just right there in the pan.
Yucky.
So we're talking wastefulness and mainly about food, but we do waste a lot on average in this country. And I know, again, I would think for the most part, traditional Catholics get the idea that, you know, you shouldn't waste and things like that. More than just an economical reason. You know, these things are given by God. We should just throw his stuff away. But
we should eat what we've taken.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
You took it, you eat it.
Mm-hmm. That's what we tell the kids.
As Mom used to say.
Uh-huh. Well, I've got some solutions to help, you know, lower those costs.
As the queen of the Austin family castle, ladies and gentlemen, and now, solutions.
Anyway, you can make a list for all the dishes that you want to have every day of the week.
Okay.
That's a way that you can do it, because then you're not going to spend any extra on it. Other things at the grocery store.
If you're disciplined, if you take your list and you go, okay, this is on my list, I'm only getting what's on my list. You don't go any spontaneous, oh, okay, one little thing off the list.
No, you stick to the list.
Right. Can you go off at any?
Well, sure you can, just a little, but I mean, you know your budget.
Right.
So anyway, you make a grocery list, but not only do you make a grocery list, because that's what you're talking about, I'm talking about making a list of the dishes that you actually eat.
Oh, that's that piece of paper you have up there.
Yes.
Lisa,
they say,
Mama,
what are you having tonight? Well, we're having, I don't know, goulash.
Check the list.
Yeah, check the list.
Or this thing we call the Polish dish.
Yeah, the Polish dish. They like that too.
The Polish dish. Yeah. Everybody in this house loves it but me. But I muddle through it.
Yeah, well, thank you. We also can track the pounds that you buy at the grocery store for meat and pasta. If you track that, that's how many pounds of meat and how many pounds of pasta that everybody, your family eats per day.
So you're saying you have averaged out for our family.
How many pounds of meat and pasta we eat. Yes. I knew at one point when the kids were small, we would eat 4 pounds of meat.
What? Per person? No.
Not per person, as a family.
Okay. Per sit down.
Yes.
Okay.
Per sit down.
How much of that do I consume? Because I don't pay attention. I just eat.
No, well, I pat it with a lot of stuff.
I put sawdust in yours, Mike, so that you don't notice.
No.
I know.
So, and then as we've grown, I've added a couple more pounds. So now we're between like 6 to 8 pounds of meat as a family. But that's because Joseph is getting older.
Oh, yeah.
And at around the age of 11 or 12, he decided, not decided, he naturally is growing and needs more food.
Right.
So he like eats for two.
Yeah, he does. He eats everything in sight.
And I can't imagine the families that have like, you know, the Deans, they have 10.
Our friends,
well, no, they have 10 kids, but they have 5 boys.
Right. Our friends, the Zaps, we love you guys. In St. Mary's, Kansas, they were gracious enough to let us stay at their house one weekend we were visiting. And they threw a party. I said a party. It seemed like it just spontaneously happened. Their family, and then I lost track. Whose family? Who's just friends stopping over? Friends from Wisconsin. Father Novak stopped in. We had 2 conference tables lined up. And Mr. Zapp, remember?
Yeah, I do remember.
He brought in...
His whole family were serving all of us.
Homemade pizzas cooked in the garage, like 15 pizzas.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Yeah,
it was a treat, yes.
Yeah, I don't think they waste food at that house.
I don't think so.
Yeah, plus he made his own beer, which was really good. Thank you, Mr. Zapp.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do you have, Lisa? We're talking wastefulness. There was a report that said on average an American family will throw out about $640 worth of food a year. Is there ever a time that you think, as the matron of the house, that you can throw food out? I mean, we eat, like we said, we pick the mold off the bread, you eat it.
Right.
Unless it looks like a piece of carpet, you don't eat that.
No, I mean, if it's in the refrigerator, you truly have forgotten about it, and it's moldy and...
Yeah.
But I mean, really nasty, like you'd get sick. Of course you throw it out.
Right. Okay. Which doesn't happen a lot.
I would never make anybody eat that.
You know, see, I would just I'd hide it in a casserole somewhere.
No. Oh,
what's this taste? It's musty. No, that's the way it's supposed to taste. It's mushrooms.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right. There you go. U.S. Department of Agriculture says many foods are still good past their expiration dates.
Yeah, they actually are.
You shop at a, we go to a, the
it's
Amish.
It's called Bent and Dent.
Yeah, the Amish have a place here.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
They.
I save so much money.
Lisa comes home with boxes and boxes and boxes of Pop-Tarts and things like that, cereals.
Well, I stock up.
Big time.
I stock up.
But this is all stuff that they, am I right in saying this? They couldn't sell in a regular store because of regulations, but these guys, they somehow get around that.
You can sell these items because they're either expired or they've been, like, the truck tipped over.
Okay.
And it's damaged.
Okay.
There's a grocery store that went out of business, and they bought up all their inventory.
Okay.
That kind of thing. That's where these little shops are developed from.
But even if you, correct me if I'm wrong, even if you buy something in the store, brand new, right off the shelf, no expiration, the expiration date is way down the line, 2 months from now. And now here it is, 2 months and a half a month. 2 months and 2 weeks. 2 months and 3 weeks. Depending on what it is,
mm-hmm.
most likely you could, right? You could probably...
It's still good.
You still go with it. Yeah.
Right. Still good. And the money that you save, we save triple the amount of money.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. So we're talking wastefulness and tips and stuff like that. Did you have anything else? Any tips? Handy tips from the
That's
lady of the
I
house?
Have.
All right. Because we're running short on time and I wanted to just thank everyone for being on. That's going to do it for this week's bunch of shows. How about that? We're in the tank.
We are in the tank.
Ladies and gentlemen.
1 week down.
Enjoy your weekend. And we're going to develop some weekend programs as well here on Magnificat Radio again. If you have any suggestions, send them in via the email, the website. Let us know your questions, your comments, anything like that. We'll do what we can.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Build the stuff around what you would like. Traditional Catholic Online Radio. And check out the website. Lisa's been doing some great jobs on the news items and the blogs and stuff like that. Our thanks to Father Wood. He will be on with us again on Monday with another Latin phrase of the day. And also Timothy Elo. From the Cataldo, what's that website? The Cataldo
Pilgrimage.
CataldoPilgrimage.org. And our thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks for your prayers, etc. Mike and Lisa Austin, we'll see you next week on Your Morning Tradition.